Hey, familia, what's going on? This is Luis Rodriguez along with
Yair Vasquez.
And welcome to the fifth episode of Talking in Three. In this episode, we'll get into the latest happenings with, of course, El Tri, kind of the new national team and Liga MX structure.
We'll also be talking about Mexican players out in Europe and Mexican players that were almost in Europe. And at the end of the show, we're going to do a little snake draft and we're going to do pick a five-a-side squad all time for the Mexico team.
All time. I like that. Well, let's get into it. The latest big news. And last time we talked about who our favorites were for the next El Tri coach. And as it looks like they settled on somebody, right? They're going with Diego Coca, who is currently the coach of Tigres. And the season's very young, so a lot of bitter Tigres fans about that sudden departure. Because honestly, the name kind of came out of left field when for the longest time it was like, you know, Almada was there all along. And then we talked about like Ambriz and a little bit of Piojo Herrera, but for a while there, Piojo Herrera was really coming on. Jimmy Lozano. But even Bielsa was making a lot of noise. But apparently was commanding something like $10 million.
We're not reporters. We don't know any of this. What I heard last time was that the Pachuca owner brought Bielsa. He was ready to sign. Everything was ironed out, and the Mexican Federation said no. Get away. It wasn't the Mexican Federation. It was Televisa.
I mean, it could have been Televisa, but, well, the way that the national team committee is now, it used to be all the owners of Liga MX. Yeah. Well, now it's restructured. And we just got, I believe, five ownership groups, we'll say. And although Pachuca's had a lot of success, it was kind of odd to me that they're not included in that. What we got? We got Tijuana's owners, Grupo Caliente. We got, of course, America, Necaxa, which is, you know, like Televisa, Chivas, Vergara, and Grupo Orlegi, which is like Santos and Atlas. And you put all that together and it starts to make sense how Coca's name, first of all, came up, but also how they settled on that. And probably why Pachuca's group isn't involved, which is, it goes back to like the same, like you just always got to follow like people's interests and always got to follow the money.
Yeah, man. Pachuca's coaches, Pachuca's owners do a lot of, they get under the skin of a lot of owners in Liga MX. I like the way they do things. They do things right. They do it through the academy. They produce, and they don't want that because they want their players to make the money. They want the Americas. They want all these players that they're part of the ownership to make it. But again, at this point, I don't really care who's the head coach of Mexico anymore.
Wow.
I really don't, because I don't think nothing's going to change till the Mexican Federation changes, because I'm starting to eat my words a lot about Tata Martino. Honestly, I'm starting to feel bad for the guy at this point.
Wow.
Like, that's how much I flipped. The more I read about this, the more I think the Mexican Federation is in shambles. What they were talking about, where they did all this committee and he came out here with PowerPoint and did all this cool stuff for the presentation, it sounded like, hey man, the ship is sinking. We need to plug some holes really quick. This is where we messed up. How do we fix it? It didn't feel like they try to brand it as, oh my God, it's innovation. We're doing this crazy stuff. Look at guys, we're changing. Really? No. They're fixing the mistakes they made decades ago because of money.
And are they really fixing it? I mean, they took away relegation before, and now it's like, we're going to look into getting rid of the relegation again. It's probably not going to happen. And then it's like, they reduced the number of foreign players on a roster by one.
Yep.
So it's like, oh, you get a field one extra Mexican player, and they might get rid of the repechaje, which is like the letting in 12 teams into the Liga, yeah, instead of the 8, which, I mean, that's still a lot, but 12, that's 60% of the league. Like,
and then they want to do, honestly, I, as an MLS fan, as somebody that covers MLS as well, they're becoming the MLS. They're trying to become the MLS. And I think that's a good thing. I think that's smart, because the MLS right now is succeeding in a lot of different ways that the Liga MX, not talent-wise, Liga MX is still a lot better competition, everything. but their financial structure, it's a lot more feasible, and it's a lot easier for teams to sell players because they're not going to be in debt if they sell
it's
the players
easier,
for less.
It's easier for MLS teams, yes, to sell players, but also because and there's been criticism even of Mexican players directly of late that, well, MLS is more willing and eager to sell off their players, while Mexican teams command a higher dollar, which a lot of that has to do with the high dollar power within Liga MX. Liga MX has some of the teams with like the biggest pockets in America. I'm talking about
in North America and South America and all that stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. And again, you're right. The only reason I like that they're becoming the MLS is because of the financial structure they can get to help the players. It's not about, I don't care if your owner makes money. I really don't give two damn.
You don't care that, but they care. And they're the ones that are in charge.
Exactly. But if they're FMF. Trying to become the MLS, it's a way to get the owner still some money, but also helping the players. It's a trickle, more of a trickle down effect than it is right now, because right now a lot of these players are getting shafted because they don't see the benefit of the player. They only see how they can make money. They're not looking at the players.
Players are benefiting. There's a reason why Diego Lainez came back to Mexico and immediately could command millions of dollars.
But that's my other issue with this. That's Mexico's federation's fault. And it's their fault because they made these Mexican players soft. And I'm going to use the S word. Mexican players are soft. If you want to succeed, if you want to go out there and be great, you'll be great. Diego Lainez is not great because of his own doing, not because of the talent he has. He doesn't have the right mentality because it was not instilled in him as a young player. And that's something from the academy. That's not something just from him. That's something that comes from who's teaching you and how you're being taught.
Yes and no. I mean, he was, I'm not going to say use him in past tense. He's still a great player. He still can be. He's super young. He still can do a lot of things. But overall, and it's pretty appropriate, I wore my Club de Cuervos jersey today, right? Because that was a really good, funny show, you know, on the streaming platform.
The original Ted Lasso. The rated R Ted Lasso.
I don't know the rated R Ted Lasso, but it's hilarious. But it's a lot of comedy behind like the inner workings of how the Mexican league / Mexican football in general operates. And let's jump back to Diego Coca real quick. Right. So like I said, these group of five owners now oversee the committee. And coincidentally, Diego Coca coached for two of those owners previously. Yeah. He won titles with Atlas, who were owned by Grupo Orlegi, which is Alejandro Iraragorri. And then he coached at Tijuana for a little while, which is where Grupo Caliente is the owner.
Didn't he coach in Santos too?
He coached at Santos too, which is also Grupo Orlegi, Iraragorri, also in like, it's just like, dude, it's just like so.
It's a boys club.
It's, yeah, I mean, because, and then like I found out that Coca's agent is an investor in Caliente Sports. It's like, dude, like, por eso estamos como estamos. That's why we are where we are. Because it's just like so incestuous. Like, and it always comes back to like power and then like follow the money.
Exactly. And that's what I say when I say that I don't care who's the head coach anymore. It's because whoever you're going to hire, it's up to the federation. Le están cubriendo el ojo al ciego. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, you're just doing the same thing over and over again to hope that there's a difference. That's not how life works. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result every time.
But the only result they care about is like they're going to keep selling a crap ton of tickets, crap ton of merchandise, and driving ratings because we're suckers, let's be honest. Okay, let's get into the tactical. Coca won two titles consecutively, but the strategy is criticized because that Atlas team, while it was really cool that it had a very strong Mexican base of players, and offensively, Furch was commanded a lot of headlines. Young Colombian Quiñones, who has never debuted for Colombia, but he's been in Mexico since, I don't know how long now, 6-7 years, maybe he can nationalize him. But anyways, that team was known to like grind out wins and like sit back and absorb like a good amount and then counterpunch and stuff. And that's not Mexico's DNA. Like, Mexico's DNA is to possess and like take it to teams offensively. It bites them. It comes back to bite them often, but.
I'm okay with the Garnacho. I'm okay with the defensive era of what he's trying to do. For the one reason that's like, again, they keep trying to take it to these teams and they still don't win. They're losing their formation. They're losing their poise because defensively they're not sound. Let's try it the other way. Let's try to make our defense really strong.
They have a good, a strong defense.
But they have no poise. Let's make everybody on the pitch defensively strong and try to see if that works. Because right now, what's happening, they win the first 45. The next 45, they let everything crumbles and then they lose 2-1 after being up 1-0 at the half.
Or like really giving, let's say, Argentina a tough game until Messi scores a golazo.
Exactly.
Right. And that was the only way that they were gonna give up a goal.
It had to be a golazo. I'm okay with the defensive side of it, especially with the amount of speed Mexico has. The counterattack and speed is going to be okay. You got Santi, who can be your target man, go over the top, run. You saw that goal against Feyenoord, for Feyenoord a couple weeks ago. Amazing, gorgeous. Brought it down on a long ball. I'm okay with the strategy side of it. I'm not against.
So strategically, it's not necessarily doing the same thing. They may be going in a different direction.
And I'm perfectly fine. And because I think that's what Mexico needs. They need a strong foundation. And you said it's not in their DNA. I don't think Mexico has a DNA anymore. I think Mexico completely lost everything because I think they're soft. And I'll keep saying this. Like, they're soft, man. Like, and I'm not saying every Mexico player out there. Like, there was a generation.
That's a Yasolina take, man. Oh, my gosh.
Dude, no. Like, it's very true, though. Like, we don't want to admit it because it's a squad we love. And I love a lot of these players. Yeah. But Hector Herrera, right before the World Cup, going out and saying, the media's going to see. That's a soft take. You take it in the gut and you keep going. You're a professional athlete. The good athletes don't talk about the media. The good athletes prove the media wrong without saying
if
stuff.
If we look at hard enough, plenty of good players around the world have been critical of the media at some point.
Criticizing is one thing. But being offended by the media is another. You can be critical of the media. Don't get me wrong, which you can. But being offended the way Hector Herrera was, that's very different. Like, there's two different sets of this.
Right.
It's not the same thing as LeBron saying, media's always around me, as Hector Herrera saying, I'm going to prove you wrong, media. There's very different, like...
Everybody has to find a source of, like...
motivation. And motivation. That, and if the media's the source of your motivation, that makes you soft.
Okay.
That's a soft source of motivation. Your motivation should be wanting to be the best. Wanting to win.
Okay. So we were talking about wanting to be the best and wanting to win. What is the bar for Diego Coca?
The bar is qualifying for.
Well, they're not playing qualifiers.
No, but they still have to qualify for Copa America. They have to qualify. They don't get automatically. I mean,
they have to finish top whatever in Nations League.
Exactly. Like,
that's a pretty low bar, but you're right. I mean,
like that's
Where we're at.
It's a low bar.
Like, that's where we're at.
Like, that's what you have to do: qualify for Nations League and make it to the semifinals of Gold Cup. Those are your two bars that you got to clear because this Gold Cup and
Colombia. So if I was to tell you, for me, the bar should be win Nations League, win Gold Cup.
Bar's too high.
Too high?
Way too high.
Wow.
That's about 2 meters too high.
How far are we falling?
And that's the fault of the Mexican Federation. I blame the players because they're soft, but it's not their doing. The Mexican Federation made them soft. The players if you look at it, the players that are good for the Mexican team are the players that aren't soft. The Santi Jimenez, the Luis Chavez, the Irving Lozano, players that are pushing themselves to be out of their comfort zone. Alexis Vega was supposed to be the golden the golden child of this World Cup, and he didn't do anything, but he doesn't like to push himself. He's like, why would I leave Mexico? That's not pushing yourself. Yeah. You don't want the competition. You don't want that extra effort. You just want a nice life, and you know what? Power to you. If that's what you want, do it. But don't come into my Mexican national team saying that, oh, yeah, we're going to fight for this. You're not fighting. Get the hell out of here. You're not part of this new generation. I don't care how much talent you have. If you don't have the mentality, you're not winning. That's what it is.
Wow, that was a Yasolina hot fire take, man.
It sucks, but they're soft. And I've been, like, grinding on this for a long time. Like, that's why it doesn't matter who you bring in as a head coach. It doesn't.
Bielsa wouldn't have made a difference.
No, because Bielsa is known to, like, whenever there's any resistance from the managers above him, he quits immediately. Then it always happens. It happened in
Leeds?
Chile. No, Chile's the one. Like, he just leaves immediately. He doesn't like any resistance because he has a way of doing things. And the Mexican Federation likes having their manos en la masa. They like making their own tortillas. And then they're like, I don't want to cuss.
I mean, it's
a family pod. But you can see what I'm going to go with.
Yeah. The Federation, the media. I honestly feel like the Diego Coca regime is going to.
Short-lived, in my opinion.
In my opinion, it might be, because I could just see it, like, the media is going to eat him up. Even though he's been coaching in Mexico, he knows what to expect, like what Mexican football culture is like, and having in the media. But man, it's still going to be like under an even bigger microscope. They're going to be looking for him to trip up wherever, right? And I'm sure that's what made you probably feel sorry for Tata when you realize, like, man, it's a no-win situation for the Mexican national team coach.
Yeah,
especially a foreigner. Although I'll say, yeah, like, Mexico's just kind of jumping on the bandwagon of Argentine coaches. I read something like this makes Mexico like the ninth Latin American country with a Argentine coach. Man, that is. I get that they're the world champions, but man.
And that's the thing, man. The Mexican Federation is looking at the money in right now. They're looking at the benefit in short term. If you look at the benefits of investing in your infrastructure and investing in your coaches, investing in your own players, in 10 years, let's say you win a World Cup, make a semifinal, you know how much money you're going to be making as a federation? Because the top five leagues are going to head out there and try to buy these players. All you have to do is sell one player for a kind of cheaper, have him work out, and then your market's set for the future. That's how football world works.
I know how that works, but right now, like, even like Juarez could like scoop up so many players, say from the Argentine league, because and the Argentine league produced obviously the world champion. I mean, none of the guys necessarily played domestically, but like their clubs are struggling bad enough that they're happily sell their players to even, like I said, even Juarez or whatever.
Exactly, but that's the problem. That's why I say you have to invest in your infrastructure now to pay off in the future. When you do an investment, it's not for like, oh, I'm gonna win $2 right now. If I put $2 in, I'm gonna win $2. No, an investment's usually a long term thing. So if you make your national team strong, if you start sending players out to Europe and these players start creating and making names for themselves, that's how your league is actually gonna make money, because there's kickbacks, there's sell-on clauses whenever you sell a player. You're telling me if you sold Santi Jimenez for $5 million, $3 million, let's say, to Ajax. Right, you sold them for $3 million to Ajax. 2 years down the road, they sell them for $30 million to Man City, to Manchester United. They sell Santi Jimenez. You got a 20% sell-on clause. You're gonna get 20% of that $30 million.
Right. No, I mean that's
the problem that Mexican teams don't look at. They're looking at the right now. They're not looking at the future investment of their players.
Well, again, because
or themselves,
even. Because of the demands of the leagues, like they need to produce right then. So if they're gonna give up a key piece, they need to see results right there.
But why is the demand now? If they had relegation, I would get it. I'd be like, okay, that makes sense. But they don't even have that right now. There's no pressure of being relegated to the next league.
Yeah, what's but there's pressure? Also no benefit of like empty stands.
But they're like,
because they don't necessarily have the TV deals like other leagues do. Again, because the guys at the top, like they want to keep all that to themselves.
So
and they want to keep it that way.
Yeah, so we're getting to that Televisa screwing up Mexico. And again, I'm okay with saying it. Televisa doesn't pay me. I don't care. Like, pay my paychecks and I'll start nothing about it, but you're not. But at the end of it, I still think that Liga MX should be trying to take a page out of the MLS's book. I know you're against it, but financially, they're way more stable. They help out their players more, and they're actually producing national team.
Do they help their players?
They do.
This is a good segment. This is a good segment because... I want to talk about a recent transfer that slipped up. Our guy Julian Araujo of the LA Galaxy was this close.
18 like, seconds.
He was
away
all
close.
But set to go to Barca. Maybe Barca B, Barca Athletic. But either way, he was there. He was there.
With Rafa Márquez, of all people.
Who dropped the ball? Was it MLS?
See, this is the thing, I don't know. I've heard a lot
18
of reports.
Seconds, like we're not using fax machines anymore, bro. Like
you can send it like.
Why do they wait to the last minute on these deals? I don't understand.
I honestly don't get it either. I think that was more of a Galaxy.
I feel so bad for the kid.
Yeah, like mentally, what does that do with you, man?
Like, what do you do?
You were like 18 seconds away from being at a top five league and one of the top 10 clubs in the world.
They got like an 8-point cushion in La Liga right now. They're back to where, in my opinion, they belong, but we could leave that for another day.
Yeah, we're Barca people.
Yeah,
we're Barca people. I can tell.
Okay.
But again, like 8 points away with a Bellerin leaving, and there might be a spot for you here and there, like in Copa del Rey or something.
Right.
And then at the end of it, it's like 18 seconds away, FIFA, we can't do this. Also, why FIFA caring about 18 seconds? Why does FIFA care about 18 seconds? It's 18 seconds. If it was an hour, I'm like, okay, I get it. That's an hour. It's like a long time. But 18 seconds, dude, come on. Like,
but they could just as easily push back. Like, why did you wait to the last minute?
You could.
If you knew you wanted the player, just get it done.
It's also money-wise. Like, you got to, especially with Barcelona that has a lot of financial problems. Like, these negotiations could have been like, all right, let's do it. There's a minute left. We got to get this done. I just want this done now. I don't, like, in LA Galaxy, like, we need the money. Let's just do it right now. And then at the end of it didn't go all the way through. Like, that's my thing about that it's more like we don't know the intricacies. We might just never know. But my whole thing with this is I feel bad for the kid.
Absolutely.
Now he has to go play half a season because hopefully in the summer he gets that move. Now he has to play half a season with that pressure of maybe being a Barca player. Now his dreams.
If he didn't already have a target on his back, he does now.
Exactly.
How many guys are gonna be like, "Oh, this guy's Barca material. Let's go.
Let's go at him.
Like, I'll show him." And there's that. And then there's just, I mean, mentally, right? He was like, he was probably Spain. Like his mind was in Spain already. Like, okay, all right, like this is happening.
Messaging already.
I mean, he came up through Barca's academy in Arizona.
Yep.
So, like,
also great academy.
It's ingrained in him, right? So I'm sure all those kids dream about getting their shot with the big team, and then for it to not happen, man, that is a tough one.
Especially because, like, this is where it becomes like, are Mexican players just cursed?
Like, I think so, because I'm also hearing that Luis Chavez to Feyenoord was close and didn't happen at the last minute. I'm like, why are these deals waiting till the last minute? I don't understand.
I mean, it hurts us the most because, like, we're a part of this, but I think it just happens around the world. Like, these are all players, our players that it hurts, but it really does suck. Like, it sucks really bad because you had two players that were going to go to maybe top 10 leagues in the world, and Luis Chavez to Feyenoord to go play with
Santi Jimenez, who Feyenoord's first place in the Eredivisie right now. I mean, above Ajax and PSV, which is very impressive.
And another turn of it, Wesley Snyder of the Ajax talking a lot of poo-poo about Edson Álvarez and
Jorge Sanchez.
I get the Sanchez hate. I don't understand the Edson Álvarez hate as much.
I mean, whatever. Edson Álvarez is still wanted by multiple Premier League teams.
Man, you lead. And Chelsea are still after him.
I think Newcastle's in there too.
As much as I hate him, give me Christian Pulisic and Edson Álvarez and Newcastle. That's the team to be right there.
The team to be. Wow.
In my opinion, wow. Man City is going to be done for a while with the
whole if they get
shambles.
Yeah.
I don't believe in Man U, and Chelsea is kind of like struggling, and we have a producer back there, really sad. Oh, Arsenal. I forgot. I'm an Arsenal guy too, so.
Yeah, you pick a team, man. You can't just jump around.
Dude, I don't follow the Premier League as closely as other people. I just like watching good football.
Yeah. So talking about, again, we're talking about Mexican players in Europe. And didn't happen for Araujo. We just mentioned
Luis Chavez. Edson
Álvarez. Didn't happen for Luis Chavez. But, I mean, yeah, Edson Álvarez, he's a focal point at Ajax. Jorge Sanchez still finding his ground. At Ajax, but yeah, Santi Jimenez, he's a starter now of Feyenoord. They're on pace to win the Eredivisie.
And he's a big reason why. Like, he gives them that punch at the end of every game when he was a super sub.
Yeah, yeah. So that's awesome. Another player whose team is poised to win their league is Chucky Lozano with Napoli.
And he's a starter in that squad too.
About to break a long streak without it. So that's awesome. I just, obviously, I wish we had guys up higher in the Premier League, right?
But this is where I'm getting at. Like, I know I'm harping on this a lot, but the soft part. You see Orbelin Pineda, it's not even in the top five league.
He's killing it for AEK Athens.
Exactly.
I think they're leaders of that league as well.
They have the mentality. Hector, not Hector, what's his name? Cesar Montes, sorry. Because they both went to Espanol, so like in my head I'm thinking yes. Hector Moreno. But Cesar Montes also like out there pushing for his
Had the force his way out of Monterrey.
Exactly. Those are the players that you want on the team because they have the right mentality. It's not about being in Europe. It's about looking for the higher competition, which is what bothers me about a lot of these teams. Like, even I, like, as much as I like them less, if, like, Pizarro decided, when he decided to go Miami instead of, like, try to go to Europe, that pissed me off.
Oh, 100%.
Like, why are you trying, like, unfortunately, don't chase the bag. Like, they're chasing the bag, which I get you want money, but you're making enough money to live comfortably. Push yourself to go to the top 5-10 league in the world out in Europe and be better. That's why at least I'm like, I don't get the Jorge Sanchez. I get the Jorge Sanchez weight, but at least he's pushing himself. He's trying.
Right.
He's not out there like, oh, I deserve minutes. No, he's putting it. You don't hear from him. You don't hear all this.
No, on a team like Ajax, you can't go out and pout about it. You just got to
exactly. But Diego Lainez was. You could hear the reports in Mexico. Lainez is unhappy. Lainez wants out. Lainez wants more minutes. The thing is, you're in a top five. Work. Get to work. You're a golden child where you're from. Nobody knows who you are when you get there.
Right.
And that's my issue. And this is why I love the group of the group of players that are in Europe or Mexico right now. Because you have players that are fighting, that are, want to be there, that don't want to leave the ranks of the higher competition. You have the Jordan Carrillo who's fighting for his spot. You know if you bring him to the Americas, he's gonna be a starter wherever he goes
right.
in a first division team.
Right.
Instead, he'd rather be in a second division team, fighting for his starting job, trying to help his team go to the first division.
Right.
Yeah. And that's what I like. Mexico doesn't have enough dogs. They don't have
that dog in them.
They don't have that dog in them, man. They don't got, it's all bark, no bite.
Oh.
And it sucks, man, because there's a team I would die for. I would die for this team more than any team in the world.
I mean, you already said you'd give up a limb.
That's how much I love this team. And I keep that. Like, I would give up a limb for a World Cup. Like, once Mexico wins the World Cup, if they ever do in my lifetime, my life's over. There's nothing for me to look forward to in the sports world. Like, it sounds dumb, but it's true.
That goes for a lot of us.
And, like, once that happens, I reach the pinnacle of excitement. Everything else is going to be second place to that. Sorry, wife. Sorry, future child. I love you guys. I promise. It's just in my sports mentality. Like, that's... I completed life.
In my sports mentality.
Like,
yeah.
I'm done with life at that point when it comes to sports. Like, there's no need for me to follow any other team in the world.
No. I could see that. I wish there was way more players in Europe we could talk about. I mean, there's still Raul Jimenez is still getting minutes here and there with Wolves.
Which he might be out of Wolves soon.
Right? Yeah.
Did you hear about that? I think it was the Leeds. Beckerham, I think it was his name. The Leeds player that Beckerham that accidentally showed up as the dual national for Mexico that one time. He was in the golden boy conversation last year. Did you hear about that or no?
No. I mean, we were talking about accidentally fielding a dual national. It gives me like salty thoughts about Sendejas, man. Like they really screwed that one up.
That's another thing. You were like, that. Oh man, like you make me so upset, man. No,
I don't
think
you need my help with that. You're pretty dude, fiery
I'm,
today.
I'm wound up because I love this team. Passion breeds anger. Like it doesn't breed anything but anger, honestly. Because they'll never do good enough until they win, and that's the truth about any sports fan.
Even a Copa America?
No, a Copa America doesn't matter to me. I don't care about these second level wins anymore. I just don't. Like, I want a World Cup.
You did mention earlier that Copa America is not they're not a shoe-in for it.
Which I'm happy.
Yeah, but I mean, but they still are. I mean, if they can't beat whoever to advance in Nations League, then they don't deserve to be there anyways. But
exactly. That's why I'm like, screw them. Like, if they don't make good, like, that's you earned it. You'd earn not to be there.
Right. But, I mean... Man, looking forward to that because it's a home tournament.
Yeah. It's in the U.S., but it's really in Mexico.
All their games will be at home.
People do call the U.S. Mexico's backyard. I've heard of that quite a bit.
No. Yeah. Somos locales. We're the home team.
I mean, but we're locals wherever we go.
At any game in the U.S. So,
I mean, Qatar too, literally.
Qatar, yeah, right. A lot of Mexicans went to Qatar, but like, you know, so like this new strategic partnership with CONMEBOL and CONCACAF, involves Copa America in 24, mm-hmm. but also like on the club level too. There'll be some sort of post CONCACAF Champions League / Libertadores like Final Four,
which I like. I'm all for.
I mean, I still wanted Mexican teams in actual Libertadores, but I guess if Baby you can't steps. Get that, like this is still up there too.
I mean, eventually, I think they'll get there. Like eventually, they'll start. I think they'll make a super league that can rival the Champions League. Maybe not talent wise,
the travel would be killer. Like you can't go to Toronto to Buenos Aires. Like
you can. It just needs to be planned out better. I looked into this hardcore already.
Studied it. Yeah, like I did really student.
Study it. Like it would have to be like it would have to be by a region and then go into like the knockout phases. Then you can go into like bigger flights and stuff like that. And then you can like you can start reseeding and stuff like that. It works. It does work. It's kind of complicated and convoluted. I won't go into
I don't even think it's complicated. I mean, it's straightforward, but it's yeah. a lot. The travel would be tough.
I still think it's possible for sure.
But, I mean, Mexico made it work for however long they did and usually had teams in the advancing semis and a couple times beyond, a couple times in the finals of Libertadores. So they could do it. They could make it work. It's just,
yeah,
it's tough.
For sure. And then also the Gold Cup is becoming a little mini World Cup.
The Gold Cup will be, I mean, there was this tournament once upon a time. I say like in past, like super past tense, but the Confederations Cup.
Yeah, the one that Mexico won.
Would be, right? In 99. Yeah. But the Confederations would be the year before the World Cup at the host country. And it's more or less a test run for the World Cup.
Well, that's kind of what this is. But that's exactly what this is. There's no Confederations Cup anymore. They're just like, we're going to make our own little one in the Gold Cup and it's going to work out great and we're going to have a lot of fun and make a lot of money.
Because there will be like two representatives of almost every confederation, I think.
Confederation. There's going to be two UEFA, two CONMEBOL, two, I don't know, the Asian one.
CAF.
There's going to be two. That's the African. That's the African. There's going to be two of the
Asian confederation.
Yeah, there's going to be even Qatar, I think, is going to be there again.
I mean, maybe from the Asian confederation. I don't know if they're automatic, and I don't know if Oceania, but maybe yeah. they'll invite New Zealand.
I actually think they are. They get one New okay. Zealand or Australia.
No,
I think
Australia moved to the Asian Confederation, true. But so it's really just New Zealand is the only.
But yeah, it's literally a mini World Cup for everybody,
right?
Which is kind of nice. I like it, man.
It'll be cool. More fun. It'll be cool. I actually had hoped that tournament would have been non World Cup cities, just. To build more excitement throughout the country.
You also wanted one in Denver.
But yeah, right. They would have put one in. But it looks like they're going to test run the World Cup host sites. And not that it needs to. Like these stadiums already host.
It's going
to
be NFL really games sad for Mexico and the U.S. when you see Brazil or Argentina holding up that trophy. Your own trophy.
Or it could be a UEFA team too.
It's going to be disappointing.
Right.
It's going to suck.
Yeah. Interesting that UEFA teams are going to come play. I mean, Germany is already locked in games in the fall of 23.
But it's going to be in the summer. Yeah, the Gold Cup's always in the summer.
So not the Gold Cup. I'm talking about friendlies. Germany's going to come play friendlies. Yeah. The U.S. and Mexico, in the U.S. obviously, in the fall of 23. We'll see if other UEFA teams follow suit. Like, it's like, hey, the World Cup's going to be there. Maybe we should go play some friendlies there before.
Yeah,
get a little acclimated. Well, it's not like Germany needs to more branding.
But trust me, it helps them brand. Sure. Especially for the non-soccer fans that are like, oh, Germany's coming. Let's go watch them play. And for the U.S. fans, it's like, oh, yeah, we get to see Germany. It's branding, man. Like,
yeah.
Maybe not for us because we're soccer fans, but there's people out there that aren't. And they hear, that's branding for them. Like, oh, if the U.S. gets knocked out, which team am I going to? I saw them play one time. I want to follow them.
There you go.
Yeah. That's the branding I'm talking about. Not like actual get your name out. Like,
I gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
You're trying to reach other fans. That's what it's for.
That's it, man.
So it works. I'm probably going to go to one.
Mexico. Yeah, I'll go check it out. I'd love to see Mexico play Germany somewhere in the U.S.
Again?
Yeah, I saw it live once.
Yeah.
But it was in Moscow. But,
the greatest Mexico win of all time,
it was pretty cool, man.
That's not a championship win?
Yeah, yeah, no.
I think that might be the best one.
Probably. I mean, lots of good memories.
Yeah.
Yeah, speaking of memories, do you want to get into some five-a-sides of all-time Mexico players?
I'm actually really excited. So how this is going to work, we're going to do a snake draft. You want to go first? Do you want me to go first? We should have probably decided this before going
live. We should have, but I'll let you. I could be reactive to your first pick.
So how this is going to work, I'm going to go first. Then Luis is going to go back-to-back. Then yes. I'm going to go back-to-back. And it's going to go until we have a five-a-side, snake draft style. The rules are you need a goalie, two defenders, a midfielder, and an attacker. Attack wingers can go either a midfielder or attacker, in my opinion, because they play slow all over the place. So if we're ready, you ready to go?
Yes.
My first pick is Rafa Márquez.
Damn it.
And I'm so glad. Like, that's the one player I wanted in my life, Rafa Márquez. Now you get to go back to back.
I know. So. I get to go back to back. So, well, you may have, you know, the best defender of all time, but I got to go with the best offensive player of all time. And I'm not taking into consideration, it's more of his club career, but I need goals. And on a five-a-side, I think he could get behind some defenders. So I guess I'll take Hugo Sanchez.
That's not a bad pick at all.
It's not a bad pick.
That was my other one that I was like, who am I going to take? But I knew you would have taken Rafa Márquez quicker than I would.
I would have, yeah, because in a five-a-side, you need I probably need a defender with some good ball skills, passing and whatnot. But I'm actually, next, I'm going to take a defender that I think is the most well-rounded Mexico's ever had. And there's a reason. Hearing his nickname, El Emperador, the Emperor. And I'm going Claudio Suarez just because the dude was just, like, solid back there. Like, never had to worry about much of anything with him back there. So, me showing my age, now I'm more old school. I'm taking two older
That's
players.
What I was going to say. Like, you can really tell we're different generations here. Like, Claudio Suarez wasn't even on my list. You could have waited till
you're
the
like,
last
you're
pick.
You're like, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm like, Seiko, cool, man. Like, I know who he is, but it's like, that wasn't in my top list. For me, my next pick, this is really hard. But if it's a five-a-side, you're playing futsal, it's more inside kind of style, I'm going to take Tecatito as my midfielder.
Ooh.
He plays like a Brazilian. He's a Brazilian.
Break some ankles.
Yep. So I'm like, that might be the guy to go on a five-a-side squad. I think that might be like the choice.
I see him and I think back to like old Nike commercials of like, I don't know, them playing... I think it was like three asides in a cage. It was like the scorpion.
Yeah, literally. And with my next pick, because I get to go back to back.
You get to go back to back.
I'm going to take Jorge Campos. Great with the feet.
Oh, I was holding that in my back pocket, man.
I'm like, yeah, dude, like he's the perfect goalie for a five-a-side. He, you know, he's an attacker and like he has the ball skills to play at five-a-side.
But he's a goalie. He's like an all-time. He's an all-time great goalie.
He was ranked number 3, like in 98 in the world.
Yeah, I mean, he was. Yeah.
I think he reached number 1 in like 99.
I don't know. But at his pinnacle,
like
he was well regarded. But everybody knew he was also willing to. Go with the ball and be a field player, you know, and give his team kind of that.
Especially because it is like a smaller net, a smaller goal. He's smaller. Yeah. It worked out perfectly. Give me hope. I think that's the pick to go with. Okay. So right now, who do I have? Tecatito, Rafa Márquez,
and Campos. So you have 3. I have 2. But, I mean, I don't have to pick a goalie because you can't.
Yeah, like
you already picked your
and
goalie.
And midfielder, too. You got... literally like
well I got a full yeah exactly I need to get another defender and a midfielder and okay if we're talking about ankle breaking midfielders I'm probably gonna have to go with and again I'll probably be showing my age but there's a Arellano Heat man he's like one of those like mythical players that people, when they look back fondly, like, oh man, I remember Cabrita Arellano. He used to break some ankles, man. And so, I mean, that's kind of my counter to your Tecatito is I'm going with Arellano. And another defender, you know what? When he's healthy, he's been solid. And he actually played in this last World Cup even. Very great. Veteran presence, but I'll take Moreno. I'll take Hector Moreno. The guy's been solid all the way back to being a world champion at the U-17 World Cup in 05.
Dude, you gave me some stuff to think about. Man, I'm going to be honest with you. I need a striker and a defender, and I'm done. Then you get to pick your goalie.
Yeah.
With striker, since you don't need to, I'm gonna let you know some names that you don't need to decide for me. But I mean, I think it's Chicharito or Carlos Vela. Because those two dudes know how to play with the ball. They're really good with the ball at their feet. Santi Jimenez.
Chicharito's good with the ball at his feet?
Yeah, he is really good at the ball with his feet.
No, like, he can Chicharito's strength is off the ball.
It is.
He somehow finds himself behind, defenders lose him.
But he's also not, he needs to head it in for it to be effective. Like, if I went with Jared Borghetti, I can't really take it. Like, he's a header master. That's not going to work on a five-a-side. Chicharito can move around and get the ball at, like, he's the most opportunistic player to have at a five-a-side. Because all the rebounds, all the things that are going on, he's going to be in the right spot.
With his feet or his face. Exactly. One of the two, it's going to go true. In.
That's why, like, he's, go good, in. He's good with the ball at his feet, and he's good at movement, which is something you need at a five-a-side. Carlos Vela is another kind of like the Tecatito style, like a little bit like he can juke you out a little bit. He's great at this one little like push it to the right move that nobody can seem to figure out. So, but the more I think of it, I think I'm going to go Chicharito. Wow. Because of the opportunistic things that he has with him. And I'm guessing you're going to go with you need a goalie. So
well, you still need another defender.
But I'm guessing, like, I think Chicharito can get it past Guillermo and Osvaldo Sanchez, which I think are your two last names.
How do you know I wasn't going to go Conejo?
Because you're not that dumb. but for defender, this is where it gets really complicated for me because I have the strong defender presence. I want somebody that can kind of run a little bit more in that defensive style. And I'm thinking between it's going to hurt me two America players. And it's going to be either Miguel Ayun or Paulo Aguilar. Because they're the most offensive wingbacks I've ever seen in my life.
I saw Paulo Aguilar score a golazo in the Rose Bowl in 2015.
Dude, yeah, to qualify for the Confederations Cup that no longer exists.
And that
no
longer exists.
Partidas. But I think I'm going to go Miguel Ayun. I love Layun. I was a big fan of his.
Yeah, old two lungs, five lungs Layun.
Exactly. Put him to the left, keep Rafa on the right, man. And let them cook him defensively. He's okay defensively, but it's a five-a-side. Who cares? Like, there's going to be 20 goals in each way.
No, there's not going to be 20 goals when I take Guillermo Ochoa as a goalie. The guy's brick wall.
That's why he has San the most goals against him in a Serie A league.
Well, when you got the Salernitana defense in front of you, like that is one player we didn't talk about when we talk about players in Europe for whatever reason. But anyways, yeah, poor guy, man. It's like, but he's he took the chance, and that's he has that dog in him.
He does have dog about. In him. But, like, at what point is the dog too old to bark? Like, that's the issue. Like,
again, he can't stop them all, dude. Especially, like I said, that Salernitana defense in front of him. Like,
Torino is not a great team either.
Yeah.
But I also do love how you said, like, he's taking the chance to go out there and play.
He's taking the chance. And that's all we can ask. I mean, we want these guys to want it as much as we do. And that involves them taking risks.
That's outgoing out of your comfort zone at that age. It's kind of insane.
Right.
Especially when you're at home and you don't got nothing to do.
I mean,
he could have retired easily.
He could have easily retired.
And been at his home place, like not move, like at the house he's been living at for like 10 years. Like he could have been fine. And he decided, I'm going to go try it out, which I do give him credit for that.
You got to give him credit.
I give him a lot of credit for that. Let us know down in the comments who won. I think I won. I think I'm going to demolish him on a five-a-side. So I don't know. Let us know, I guess.
I think I got a pretty solid foundation. I think you're underestimating what some of these old guys were like back when they were there. So
tune in next time when we go to when we play FIFA and try to decide who's actually better at this.
Oh my gosh. I don't know. I'm not the best on the sticks, but
we'll simulate it. It's fine.
Yeah. We'll let it go. All right, Yair. Well, it was a pretty good show.
I thought it was a fun show. I was really angry most of the time.
You got pretty angry, man. So, yeah, tell us in the comments what you guys think of some of Yair's takes. I don't know. I don't know if I gave as many hot takes. But definitely we loved interacting. So like, comment, subscribe, and we'll catch you guys next time. Thank you all for tuning in. Talking in three.
Adios, amigos.